from the beginning of Shlach. This is a well-known Ramban, very long Ramban. Again, since we haven't learned that much Ramban this year, Ramban really provides the foundation of Jewish thought and Jewish belief. So if you're looking to start a project during these years to really craft the foundation of our Masara, I'd recommend every week reading one or two Rambans. It's hard to know which are the important ones. If you just read every week one or two Rambans, over the next 5-6 years, you'll cover most of the Rambans. You may pay to get an English Ramban or one of these line-by-line translations. Really important sefer, Ramban al-Torah. So there's a seminal Ramban al-Torah in the beginning of Shlach. So seminal, you can see how long it is. 2-3 pages. Now, what is Ramban discussing? The primary dilemma of the Ramban, the primary issue in the Ramban, is the discrepancy between Parshas Shlach and Parshas Devarim, where the story of the Meragim is retold. Now, the classic discrepancy, which hits you immediately, is that in Shlach, the Meraglim project was initiated by the Jewish people. They approached Moshe, and I'm sorry, Parshas and Devarim, excuse me. Whereas in Shlach, it all comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Shlach lecha Hashem Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu commands Moshe, Moshe commands Am Yisrael. For some reason, that part of the story is omitted. Okay, that's a fairly easy, that's more of a stylistic one. For whatever reason, in Sefer Bamidbar, the request of the Jewish people is suppressed. It seems as if it all comes from Hashem top down. But for whatever reason, it's highlighted in Parshas Devarim or in Sefer Devarim. But there's a more vexing discrepancy, and it's not just vexing from a literary standpoint, why does the Torah omit it in Bamidbar as opposed to Devarim, but it's vexing theologically. What role does Hashem play? If you just read Devarim, these are people who either respectfully or otherwise want to send Meraglim. It's not clear how much they were inciting beforehand. Was this more like Korach, or was this more innocent and it turned south in the middle of the project? But Hashem has no role. Whereas here, Hashem sends them. How could he punish them? Like, it sounds as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed this mission, launched this mission. How did it go south if Hashem sent these people? Hashem appointed these Nasim. When Hashem appoints you, essentially he's empowering you for a successful mission. So this is a very, very intricate Ramban. Let's follow carefully. The Ramban says, basically, he goes through 3 or 4 different approaches, but I'm just reading his final approach. Basically, there are 2 storylines. The Jewish people in Sefer Devarim, they wanted to send spies like they should have. Because when you engage militarily, you can't rely on supernatural help. You have to find out what are the best routes and access points and military strategies. So these were the spies gathering intel, the same way any nation that goes to war gathers intelligence before they start the war. So the fact that Am Yisrael requested Meraglim was completely legit. There's no fomenting, no mob rule, no inciting. Their intentions were completely, completely legit. Okay? Now, if you were to send Meraglim, how many people would you send? 1, maybe 2. On the sly, quietly, stealthily. And that's how many people Moshe sends, or Yoshua sends, right? We don't know how many people Moshe sends, but Yoshua sends 2 people. In the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, you should know that, Mark, right? So why the fanfare? This is not the way you'd want to send spies. 12 leaders, 1 from each tribe. This doesn't sound very espionage-like. Not good spies. The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlaid his own narrative onto Am Yisrael's narrative. He said, okay, you're going into the land. I want to make sure that it's Nasim and that it's one Nasi from every shape. Why? Okay, what's Hashem's intention by swelling this whole party from what should naturally have been 1 or 2 people to 12 leaders? So Hashem has 2 agendas, and each of them are really important to think about. And then we'll talk about the fact that Hashem sometimes overlays his agenda on human initiative. Number one, again, very, very challenging philosophically, Hashem knows where this is heading. Hashem knows this could either be spectacular or it could be catastrophic. And Hashem has foreknowledge, and Hashem knows what's good. It doesn't take away the free will of the people, it just knows what you and I will choose. But Hashem knows where this will end, and he doesn't want a situation where half the population enters Israel sooner because they didn't sin through the Meraglim, and half the population has to wander 40 years in the desert. All for one, one for all. Either these 12 great people will be able to pull it off and overcome their fear and their anxiety, and even though the land seems so imposing, they'll have enough courage and valor against their leaders to still inspire the Jewish people towards victory. Or if they don't, then everyone's going to be in the same boat. which is an amazing concept. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, at the dawn of history, says, I'd rather Am Yisrael be united, even at the cost of entering Eretz Yisrael. So she said, look, let me just send a party of a few people. They'll do their best. And if they fail, they fail. And the ones that don't go, and the Jews that don't. She says, I want Am Yisrael to be in the same boat. And either they'll be successful together, or they'll fail together. And if they fail together, they'll go into Galus for 40 years. Or in the future, they'll go into Galus for longer periods. It's an amazing concept that the unity of Am Yisrael takes precedence over living in Eretz Yisrael. Which, we talked about this a little bit on Shabbos, about what does or doesn't take precedence of Eretz Yisrael when we're in Malok. So that's one reason Hashem wants to send 12. There has to be a representation for every single Shevet. I don't want there to be any haves and have-nots regarding Israel or Galus. Everyone's together. However, there's a second agenda Hashem has. He says, look, they're entering the land for tactical purposes, to scout out access points and security details and walls and arms and weapons. But I also want them to see the land. And when they see the land, they'll fall in love with the land. And when they fall in love with the land, they'll be enthusiastic, not just practically how to conquer, but that their avas haaretz will increase. They'll be excited and passionate about Israel. So there are two totally different stories. The people are sending Meraglim for espionage. So I'm saying, oh, by the way, you're going for espionage? I'd like you to send 12 people and cover every nook and cranny, and people who are not necessarily spies, but leaders. Like these leaders are, if you have to send a spy, would you send an older Nasi? You'd send, you know, a quick young guy who can hide out in huts and outhouses. No, they're sending Nasiim because these Nasiim are going to be able to process, which is a very important concept on two levels. Number one is that sometimes there's a human initiative that Hashem then responds to. We all think that our historical process of Hashem is we're responding to Hashem's decisions. Sometimes human beings make decisions and say, okay, well, that's the way history is going to work. Had the spies never been launched by Am Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have found some other vehicle for us to try to fall in love with Eretz Yisrael. So you're sending spies for espionage and intel? This is a good opportunity for me to increase the ranks of the spies, make them see him, so that they'll see the land. Second of all, this is really important, that Hashem doesn't want us just to enter Israel and acquire Israel. Hashem wants us to have an emotional attachment to the land. And that Hashem can't legislate. Hashem can't legislate your emotions. He created free will. So Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to use this opportunity where it's going to take you some time to practically scour the land, and that will be a way for you to build excitement about the land. So think about the last 170 years of Jewish history. Let's say that the excitement about the land of Israel starts around 1860. That's been about 160 years so far. I mean, this is hard. This is long. Why is it taking so long? Why does it have to be stages? First, Jews start coming to Israel, and then there's a World Zionist Congress, and then they fight for 40 years World War I, and then there's wars and hostility and BDS, and we have some land and not other land. And because Hashem wants us to have a hand in it, and since we have a hand in it, we own it. And since we own it, we're more emotionally invested in this historical process. And at a very literal level, Parsha Shlach, not just that we are involved in acquiring the land, but it gives us time to recognize the land, to become familiar. This is our mother. We've been separated from our mother for 2,000 years. You'll be going back in Mirz Hashem to see your parents in a few days. Take some time. How was your year? Bring me up today. So we're returning back to Eretz Yisrael. It's going to take us some time to get to know this land. One of the amazing things, and maybe I'll talk about this later in the week, is you see a lot of people in Israel today who are able to reach religious inspiration and meaning in addition to Torah, mitzvahs, and the classic roots, the new roots now that we're back in Eretz Yisrael. And one of those new roots is just knowing the land. I don't know the land so well. Whenever we go in a Tehillim, I have to ask my kids, where should we go? Is this a good... But you have people that really know this land and love this land, and it becomes a religion, and it's part of it. It shouldn't surpass or transcend Torah and mitzvahs. But the love they have for this land and the level of knowledge, that's why if you read in Parsha Shlach, which is Hashem's overlay. Parshas Devarim is the original request for intel. But Parshas Shlach is Hashem's overlay. Most of Hashem's requests given through Moshe is just to find out about the fruits. Umaharetz, Sheyosheva, Hatovah, Yimra, is it a good land, a bad land? Maharim, Maharetz, Hashmenahi, is it fertile? How is this going to help conquer the land? You're going shopping for grapes and things. The conquering the land, the espionage, that's in Devarim. Hashem's overlay in Parsha Shlach is, I just want you to see the land and fall in love with the land. And I'm sending people who can convey that back to the people. And sadly, they failed. And sadly, they saw negativity and toxicity. Since it's 7 years since the three boys were kidnapped, right around now, so I just want to share with you what happened. Because for about 17, 18 days, the country, the military forces, the armed forces were furiously searching for the boys, or it ended up being their bodies, because it turns out they were killed rather quickly. And unfortunately, they were unsuccessful. And then at a certain point, I think the bodies were discovered Sunday, Monday. The weekend before the bodies were discovered, the army pivoted. How did they pivot? Why were they successful? Because a bunch of tour guides, people that really know the landscape of Gush Etzion, that are found in the south of Hebron, and know this landscape, said, let us take over the search. And the search was then transferred to all these tour guides, and we call them tour, not really tour guides, Madrichei Siyur, people that really know, people even more than Rabbi Lipchak, know the landscape and know the... And you know what happened? It turns out that the bodies were buried, and they had moved some olive trees and put olive trees on top of the bodies. And 99% of the people won't even know. You just see olive trees. But if you know this land well enough, the ravines and the slopes and the climates and the shadows and the shades, there's something wrong. That earth looks a little bit unsettled. And if that tree had been growing there for whatever, X amount of years, it shouldn't be so unsettled. And within 2 days, we found the bodies. And there's a whole culture here in Israel. That's why it's so important to take to your land and to recognize our land and to fall in love with our land. So there's a lot here in this Ramban. Number one, structurally, sometimes human initiative is the baseline for Hashem's decisions as to how to stream history. We think that Hashem always initiates, sometimes humans initiate. So, okay, now that you've taken this decision, and it may be a legitimate decision, this is how history may unfold. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers that we all be in the same boat, even at the cost of delaying some people's entry into Eretz Yisrael. Number three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlays not just that he wants us all together just in case we fail, or give a better chance for success, but Hashem's overlay is, now that you're there for intelligence, for espionage, for military reasons, I want you to look at the land, I want you to try to acquire the land, and the efforts you're taking to acquire that, I want you to fall in love with Eretz Yisrael. It's not enough just to be gifted. And I think we're living through a similar saga today. It's been taking us a long time, and all of our efforts, could you imagine if Eretz Yisrael had been handed to us in a silver platter? It would have been majestic and otherworldly, but it wouldn't have been ours. We're working hard here. This is taking a lot from us. This is our life's mission. Hopefully it'll be your life's mission as well at some point. That just means that we love it more, and that Hashem wants us to have that human imprint and that human emotional connection to our land. He doesn't want it just to be some holy ground that Hashem delivers to us. Okay? Have a good day. Tomorrow, some chassid.